We're back, 180. My name's Carl Claussen, your host. Your life, a new direction. Now, there is nothing sweeter than when a conversation moves from salvation, which is this powerful work of God, not our own, very important distinction, into this discussion of sanctification. I love it. Every week at this time, I bring in a good man. I'm going to start calling him like Renaissance Man, from rock and roll to software, from corporate world to church leadership, Dr. George Koch. I mean, he's been there and done that, lived a very varied life, which is what God uses to make him really such a relevant communicator of truth. He's the pastor of Resurrection Church in West Chicago. Yes, he's Anglican. He actually has a collar. He sports it well, and he's with me today. George, good to have you with me.
Carl, it's an honor once again.
I am loving this, going through your book. And by the way, you are listener following along. If you want to follow along with us, get What We Believe and Why by George Koch. And you can get that at What We Believe and Why. I'm going to mess this up again. .org, is that correct?
Nope, it's .com.
I keep doing that for crying out loud.
Or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's there, too.
It's on Amazon?
Amazon.
Excellent.
Barnes & Noble, most of the online booksellers have got it.
Excellent. What We Believe and Why, it is just a tremendous read. I love this because as I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, as I'm reading this, I'm hearing your voice in this thing, and having been in Israel with you, it's just a joy. Okay, this dawned on me as I was transitioning between salvation and then sanctification. This is just what hit me. We can be deceived about the essentials and divided by non-essentials, and that is a double whammy, isn't it?
It is. That's probably one of the greatest unmentioned crises in the church right now, is that kind of division. Yep.
I want to afford you the opportunity to pour out your heart to my listeners, because this is so important that we're going to linger here, because We have littered the gospel with all kinds of non-essentials. Now, some would say, well, you guys are whacked. You've lost your mind. Boil it down what you believe the essentials are, and then we'll talk about what non-essentials, what role those play.
Sure. Well, for the Christian, the essential is salvation. And that is the means by which we step from a world caught by sin, captured by sin, suffused with sin. We step from that kingdom into the kingdom of God. And that was the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. You must be born of water and the Spirit. It's where we hear the famous passage, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That comes at the end of Jesus describing what salvation is and how it is that it happens. And it's when we step from one kingdom into the next, that's salvation.
And it is one kingdom in the next. And the distinction that you made, that you, our listener, get this. I think sometimes we reduce salvation down to we're born into this world, and then somewhere along the line at the age of accountability, we either choose God or then we're going to hell. John the Baptist spiked it at the end of chapter 3. He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. In other words, we're born snake-bitten, George, right?
That's not John the Baptist, by the way. That's John the Disciple.
John the Disciple. Excuse me. Thank you very much. Whew, important distinction. The forerunner has already said Jesus is on the way. Now, Jesus has spoken these words, so John the Disciple said that. But those are huge words, aren't they?
Huge words. And that really tells us everything that we need to know, and it's enormously important about salvation. And so the essential, the if and only if, there is no Christian life without this, is salvation.
Okay. All right. Now that leaves a big balance sheet of the Bible.
It does.
and it leaves a lot of things that you say fall into the category of sanctification, correct?
Right. Exactly right. And an important distinction here is between salvation and sanctification, and it's one of those places where we need to be really careful with our language. One of the things which is common in the public sphere, especially in politics, is a lot of hyperbole and exaggeration, and words are used very imprecisely, and it causes confusion there.
Give us an example of one, George.
In the public sphere?
Sure.
Well, if you accuse your opponent because he opposes a policy that you have of genocide. That's been a pretty common thing that the left has thrown against the right. Well, you're guilty of genocide. Well, genocide means that you're wiping out a population by killing them, and it's not genocide. You may have a policy which is horrible, but that doesn't make it genocide.
Good point.
Genocide is hyperbole. And we have a lot of things where we call people names that are really not accurate. And my only point is that in doing theology, in trying to understand the God who is truth, we need to be really careful with our categories and with the words that we use so that we do not confuse ourselves or those that we teach.
Why is this so important to you, George? I mean, I get it, but I want our listener to understand why this is so critical and why we linger here even.
Well, because salvation is an example of the ways of one of the words which has been misused. And what happens is there might be something really important, and I mean that genuinely, something really important in our life in Christ and in the church. And let's say that that is good discipleship. Good discipleship is really important in our growth in Christ.
Yes.
But if someone says, if you're doing bad discipleship, this is a salvation issue. If you don't disciple them well, they can lose their salvation. Well, that's hyperbole. It's not true. It's possible to lose your salvation, but it doesn't happen just because you've done bad discipleship work. And the reason I point that out is because it's an example of using a word, salvation, which has enormous importance, but misapplying it to cover things which are important but are not about salvation. And so it's what I would call a category error. And it's used sometimes, if I think discipleship is really important, then I might say about it, because I think it's really important, well, that's a salvation issue. It's a salvation issue. If you're reciting the Nicene Creed or not, it's a salvation issue. Well, it's not really. I say that like saying, if you haven't got a Corvette, you don't really own a car.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Hyperbole.
No, that makes perfect sense. I want to talk with you about this salvation issue, about keeping it and losing it and all that. We're going to get into that down the road. But right now, George, there's a lot of people, though, that even on the issue of salvation, there's certain sequence of things that needs to happen. And there's certain, what you mentioned, baptism must happen. Or some say there must be a gift of tongues that is spoken to be evidence of real salvation. What do you do with those, George?
Well, that would be an example of just exactly the point that I'm making. If I really want to know what salvation is about, who better to listen to than Jesus?
I agree.
And if you go and listen to what Jesus says salvation is about, he doesn't say anything about the tongues. Now, actually, the people who say that about tongues, just to be clear about what they say, is they say that's evidence of salvation.
Correct. They don't say it's a means towards salvation.
No, nor do they say if you don't have it, you're not saved. They just say the evidence isn't present that they can discern.
Yes, and there's even differing camps there, but usually it's
for sure
some of the disciples of that camp that you just noted that get a little more radical with their statements,
which
we get radical with our statements. The funny thing is, the older I get, the shorter my doctrinal statement gets, for crying out loud. But that's a funny thing. Okay, let's move into sanctification. The non-essentials to salvation really do matter in the joy that we have in the Lord.
That's right, and those things which are non-essential to salvation may be very essential to sanctification, but it's necessary to understand the difference. If we could, we can say, and this is just for purpose of illustration, it's not a proof of anything, that the Christian life is really in three major parts. Salvation, which is where you enter the kingdom of God. Sanctification, which is where you learn to live and love like Jesus, where you learn how to be mature in the faith, where you learn how to do the things that he commanded, and then glorification, which is basically entering into eternity. And I would put those in a short summary, which is get saved, learn to love, go to glory.
Yeah.
And that's the Christian life there in just a handful of words.
Yeah, that is really good. His name's George Koch, and every week at this time we bring him in to discuss, well, what it is that we believe and why. So we've been going through what we believe and why, and it's just a great resource. I want to encourage you to follow along with us on this thing. George, we're going to continue to methodically go through this. I love you. It's stimulating, my friend.
Thank you, Carl. It's my privilege to be with you.
You can find out more about these resources. Go to kc180.com. That's kc180.com. And you're going to find dynamite resources right there. Coming up, LAPD. What does it give us a glimpse into? I'm talking about one previous officer in particular. You may know where I'm going. 180 with Carl Claussen. Your life, a new direction.